This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Part one of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by Farm Credit Services of Illinois and by Hawkeye Steel at the intersection of Route 138 and I-55 in White City.
Hawkeye Steel, located at Exit 44 off Interstate 55 at Mount Olive in White City, is now open Saturdays from 8 a.m. to noon. Visit them about metal sidings for roofs, sidewall, and interior liners, miscellaneous surplus items such as shelving, air compressors, and more. They also are a steel warehouse for angles, channels, flats, pipe, tubing, and more. Come see their portable cattle sheds. They can custom make livestock buildings to your specifications. Call 866-999-7880. Hawkeye Steel. Build it to last. Build it with steel.
There's been a lot of changes in farming over the years, but at Farm Credit Services of Illinois, our commitment to farming and its way of life has never changed. Our products and services are a good fit because we understand the importance you place on your family and your farming operation. If it's the security of a long-term fixed-rate real estate loan, the flexibility of a one-year product, or one of our operating lines of credit, Farm Credit provides the products you want with the service you deserve. As a farmer-owned financial cooperative, Farm Credit has been serving farmers for generations. Whether we're in an office or on the farm, our commitment is the same. Dependable, constructive products and services designed for the way you farm. When you're looking for a lender that cares as much about you as you do your farm, look for Farm Credit of Illinois. You can find us online at fcsillinois.com or at 800-444-FARM. Farm Credit, a good fit for all your farm financial needs.
First of all, in the news this morning, in electronic trading on the Chicago Board of Trade, July wheat now trading at 698.5, up 4.75. September wheat trading at 707, up 4.75. July corn trading at 651.5, up 3/4. September corn trading at 564.75, up 1.25. July soybeans trading at 1418.5, up 5.75. August beans trading at 1349.5, up 7.5. On the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday, July wheat ended the day at 693.75, down 17. September wheat ended at 702.25, down 17.25. December wheat ended at 718.5, down 17. July corn yesterday ended at 650.75, down 1.75. September corn ended at 563.5, down 6.25. December corn ended at 531.75, down 6.25. July soybeans yesterday ended at 1412.75, down 2. August beans 1342, down 4.25. September beans ended the day at 1262.5, down 5.5. July soybean meal yesterday ended at 410.50, down 13. August meal 387.90, down 7. September meal 362.70, down 9. July soybean oil yesterday ended at 49.35, down 41. August oil 49.13, down 38. September oil 48.90, down 33. July oats yesterday ended at 379.5, down 4.75. September oats ended at 370.25, up a penny. Right now we'll take you to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for a recap of the cash grain markets.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Wednesday's grain market report. The Illinois country grain prices ended lower on Wednesday afternoon, with wheat prices sharply lower. Wheat futures were lower due to poor export interest. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 1 to 5 cents lower at 679 to 698. Soybeans dropped by 3 to 5 cents at 1483 to 1496. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids a penny lower at 679 to 687, and soybeans down 2 to 4 cents at 1501 to 1513. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were mostly 1 to 5 lower at 661 to 696. Soybeans ended steady to 2 cents lower at 1495 to 1514, with wheat bids down 17 cents at 674 to 702. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids dropped 2 to 5 cents at 1528 to 1548. while basis ended steady to 3 cents lower at 115 to 135 over July. High Pro 48% soybean meal on a truck basis down 30 cents to $1.30 per ton to range from $4.50.50 to $4.55.50. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids ended steady to 2 cents lower at $6.98 to $7.06, with basis steady to 2 cents stronger at $47 to $55 over July. Illinois River barge loading elevators quoted producer corn bids 1 to 7 cents stronger at $6.92 to $7.06. Basis gained 3 to 9 cents, ranging from 41 to 55 over July. Soybean bids ended mixed in a range of 15.18 to 15.25, with basis up 1 to 7 cents at 105 to 112 over July. New crop wheat bids for July 13 delivery dropped 15 to 16 cents at 6.84 to 6.87, with basis up 1 to 2 cents, ranging from 10 to 7 under July. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators place their producer corn bids 2 cents lower at 6.94 to 6.95. These same elevators lowered their soybean prices by 2 cents with quotations at 15.23 to 15.24. Soft red winter wheat down a dime at 6.18 to 6.19 and Milo down 2 at 6.61 to 6.62. Contract bids to producers for new crop delivered grain in northern and western Illinois. From country elevator bids to producers, new crop corn bids range from $4.95 to $5.12, new crop soybean bids at $11.72 to $11.80. In central Illinois, new crop corn bids range from a low of $4.98 up to $5.14, new crop soybean bids at $11.79 up to $11.97, and in the southern part of the state, new crop corn bids range from $5.04 up to $5.17, new crop soybean bids $11.80 to $11.98, and the new crop wheat bids in southern Illinois, those bids range from $6.64 up to $6.96. That concludes our grain report for Wednesday. This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Livestock futures on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday. June hogs ended the day at 91.92, down 67. July hogs, 91.85, down 55. August hogs, 90.50, down 55. June cattle yesterday ended the day at $120, down 77. August cattle, 119.85, down 55. October cattle, 122.92, down 77. May feeder cattle yesterday ended the day at 135.07, down 42. August feeders, 145.30, down $1.12. September feeders, 147.52, down 97. Back we go to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for a recap of the cash livestock markets.
Thank you. This is Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture with your afternoon livestock report. Starting with the Eastern Corn Belt Hog Report, barrels and gilts on a carcass basis traded 6 cents higher. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded in the range of $85.47 to $95.01, with the weighted average carcass price of $89.67. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sows traded a dollar higher, with moderate demand for light to moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds were 44 to 47, the 4 to 5 weights 47 to 53, the 5 to 550 weights 54 to 56, and 550 and up 57 to 58. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, barrels and gilts and country buying points traded steady, with moderate demand and offerings ranging in price from $61 to $65. Receipts for Illinois hogs today total 8,637 head. And from the United Producers Auction at Shelbyville, this is the report for May 14th. They had receipts of 416 head. And starting with the choice slaughter steers, they're bringing 124 to 128. Choice slaughter Holstein steers, 114 to 118. And the choice slaughter heifers, 123 to 127. Now for the slaughter cows, starting with the premiums, they were bringing 97 to 99.50, breakers 93 to 95, boners were 81.50 to 87.50, and the leans 72 to 80.50. They had some feeder heifers, medium and large ones, 4 to 5 weights, 138 to 144, the 5 to 6 weights, 135 to 145. Feeder bulls, large ones, 5 to 6 weights, 130 to 141. The 6 to 7 weights, 121 to 125. Moving on to the Greenville Livestock Auction opening report for May 15th, they had receipts of 236 head. And compared to last week, slaughter steers and heifers traded steady to a dollar lower. Holstein steers traded a dollar higher. Starting with the choice slaughter steers, they were bringing 124 to 125.50. Choice slaughter Holstein steers, 113 to 119. And choice slaughter heifers, 125 to 126.50. In the direct cattle trade from the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, steers on a live basis were trading at 124 to 128, and on a dress basis they were trading at 198 to 201. Heifers on a live basis were 129, and on a dress basis 198 to 200. From the National Daily Pork FOB Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts was established with 532 loads. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $91.93, which was $1.02 higher. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading higher. Choice carcasses, $207.95, that was $1.86 higher, and select carcasses at $192.75, and that was 68 cents higher. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, slaughter cattle was estimated at 125,000 compared to 125,000 last week and 125,000 a year ago. The hog slaughter was estimated at 412,000, which compared to 411,000 last week and 414,000 a year ago. From the United Producers Weekly Hay Auction at Shelbyville for May 14th, they had receipts of 94 bales, and compared to last week, alfalfa sold $2 higher. Trading was moderate, with good demand for light offerings. Alfalfa premium quality traded for $8.50 to $9 a bale. That concludes our livestock report. This is Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Spot dairy prices on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday: for butter, $1.59 1/2, up 3/4. For block cheese, $1.75 1/2, down 2 1/2. For barrel cheese, $1.73, up 1/2. The spot price for Class 3 milk ending Wednesday, $18.50, a penny above Tuesday's close. Here are the bids from Hog Inc. Incorporated of Greenfield and Scottville. Corn delivered to Greenfield for May, $6.82. For June, $6.85. Corn delivered to Scottville for May, $6.82. And for June, $6.82. Beans delivered to Greenfield or Scottville for May, $15.08. And for June, $14.80. And wheat delivered to Scottville, $6.88. For more information or to confirm the bids, call Hog Inc.'s Greenfield office at 217-368-2888. Pre-opening prices again: corn at Greenfield and Scottville, $6.82. Beans at Greenfield or Scottville, $15.08. And wheat at Scottville, $6.88. That's all for part one of the Morning Farm Show. It's 6:21 on this Thursday morning. Color radar showing scattered light showers around the mid-Illinois listening area, predominantly north of Route 104, moving slowly to the southeast. This check of color radar weather brought to you this morning by Carlinville Truck Equipment and by the M&M Service Company.
You only get one chance to leave your mark on the land you love. Your farm is your life. The choices you make, the seed you plant, will all affect the legacy you pass down to future generations. So choose a brand with a legacy all their own: FS High Soy. The first proprietary soybean brand, High Soy, has been a part of the land for nearly 50 years, so no one knows the territory better. So grow proud and pass it on. Talk to your local crop specialist at M&M Service Company, powered by Green Plan Solutions. M&M Service Company, the local solution to your world of needs.
Attention farmers, for help with your farm beds, hoist, tag, or pusher axles, lift gates, or any other truck-related equipment, call Carlinville Truck Equipment at 854-6706. They also have a large supply of steel and aluminum toolboxes for your truck at competitive prices. They provide speedy and reliable service, and you'll find the staff friendly, courteous, and ready to serve your individual needs. Carlinville Truck Equipment, 854-6706. Visit CTEMI.com. Service starts here.
Our local weather forecast for today: calling for cloudy skies with the chance of a shower or a thunderstorm. High temperatures today in the low 80s with light southwest winds. Tonight, cloudy skies, a slight chance of a shower, low temperatures in the low 60s. For tomorrow, Friday, cloudy skies, again a slight chance of showers, high temperatures in the low 80s. Your extended forecast for Saturday through Monday, partly cloudy, a slight chance of a shower Sunday night and Monday. Low temperatures in the mid-60s, high temperatures in the upper 70s. Right now at the Weather Center, we have west winds at 6 miles per hour. The barometric pressure is steady. Partly cloudy skies at the Weather Center on this Thursday morning. Right now, 68 degrees. Part 2 of the Morning Farm Show is next.
Congratulations to all the seniors at Mount Olive High School from Mount Olive Monument Company, Rodemaker Chiropractic Clinic in Mount Olive, and Crossroads Cafe in Mount Olive.
Mount Olive High School seniors include Ashley Stevenson, Alex Teeter, Rachel Wasilenko, Danielle Werner, and Dakota White.
In the news this morning, the United States Department of Agriculture issued its weekly crop progress and condition reports Monday afternoon. Statistician Mark Schleusner has this report for the state of Illinois.
This is Mark Schleusner, state statistician for Illinois, with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. The second week of May was kinder to Illinois crop producers than the previous 5 weeks. Some parts of the state, mostly northern and eastern, were dry enough that farmers did some significant planting. Overall, the state reached 17% complete on corn planting. That is up 10 points from last week, but still far behind last year's 94% and the five-year average of 64%. 2% of the crop has emerged around the state compared to 74% last year and 36% normally. Rains late in the week stopped planting progress again so that only 1.7 days were suitable for field work. Temperatures averaged 1 degree below normal at 59.9 degrees, and rainfall was 1/4 inch below normal at 0.79 inches last week. Topsoil moisture was rated 47% adequate and 53% surplus, just slightly drier than 1 week ago. The winter wheat crop is now 15% heading, well behind last year's 91% and the five-year average of 48%. Concerns about late planting due to wet weather are growing, as well as concerns for the welfare of the winter wheat crop. Currently, the condition of the wheat crop was rated 4% in the very poor to poor categories, 23% fair, 58% good, and 15% excellent. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
And on Wednesday, we talked to M&M crop consultant Bill Brank, and he commented on the progress of corn planting in the area.
Finally, we're seeming to have a little bit of a window now. I know Madison County, for example, they're really going pretty fast. A lot of corn is being planted down there, but I was a little bit surprised being in Macoupin and Montgomery County. I don't see a whole lot of activity yet, but maybe if we miss these showers that are predicted for the next day or so, I'm sure that we're just on the verge of seeing a lot of planting done. But again, Madison County, a lot of corn is being planted right now, and of course we've said this before, that farmers can get their crop planted very rapidly. We've said numerous times that the whole state can be planted in a week's time. So if we just get a little bit of a narrow window, 7 to 10 days, we can have the whole state planted.
And it's still too early for guys to consider like changing their cropping plans, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a little bit early yet, although I do talk to some farmers that might have 115-day corn, maybe even 117-day corn that they're considering maybe swapping in for a little bit shorter season. But as far as switching to soybean, it's a little bit early yet. We've seen this before several years ago. We saw corn planted well into June, even as late as maybe the 10th of June, and it did okay. Just depends on weather conditions that come, during the summer months, during July and August, that really makes the corn crop. So, if they can get out during the month of May, I'm sure that they're going to continue with their regular plans.
The penalty, they say, after the 10th of May, planting like a bushel a day, is that carved in stone?
Well, it's not really carved in stone, but, this is a lot of years of research. So under various conditions, so when you take one data point, like 1 year, for example, it may not be true. But on the other hand, another year, it may be true. So we talk about, a half a bushel per day the first of part of May, and then it increases to a bushel a day towards the end of May. It just depends, you know, on the weather conditions for the rest of the growing season. I mean, we've had some excellent weather conditions during the later part of growing seasons that really bring the corn crop on, as many of you know. So it just depends on, you know, what kind of conditions we have. But all they have done there is just taken many, many years of planting date studies and put them together, and this is an average. And, of course, you know, it seems like we don't have an average year anymore. So it really isn't cut in stone, but, you know, if you look at long-term averages, that's what the data shows.
So, in other words, if you plant a few days late, if you get real good growing conditions, you're still going to have a good corn crop.
That's correct. It all depends on, you know, with corn, it all depends on, you know, that fairly narrow window of, you know, between tasseling and silking. You know, maybe a week or so before tasseling, and then maybe a week or so after silking, during that month period of time. If we have, you know, good growing conditions, moisture, and average temperatures, you know, we can still have a tremendous crop yet, even with a little bit later planting.
And that was M&M crop consultant Bill Brink. On Tuesday, we talked to Arlen Suderman of Water Street Solutions about the grain trade. We asked him about the potentially large corn crop and the effects it may have on the livestock markets.
Yesterday, we saw the feeder cattle market really get hit by higher corn prices. So I think that gives us a hint. If we see those corn prices go back down, we would expect those feeder cattle prices to go back up, reflecting expectations that we will increase the demand for pulling feeder cattle into the feedlots. We're going to see an increased demand for feeding pigs and poultry. We're going to see an increased demand for processing ethanol. In fact, USDA's ethanol use estimate, previously they've leaned heavily on the Energy Information Office, showing that ethanol demand was, or production was going to be down. This time they ignored an Energy Information estimate that we're going to see record ethanol production in 2014. So USDA ignored that. They could have actually raised their estimate higher. Now, there's a lot of people questioning that EIA estimate with the 10% blend wall, but the bottom line is there are ways that we can expand demand for this crop. Bottom line, though, on the current demand estimates, if you want to say believe the current demand estimates, and they're actually very close to my own, it would take a drop of about 2 million acres, which I think is very possible with a delayed planting. It may be larger, and a yield down to 150 bushels per acre this year to actually bring stocks down to that 1 billion bushel level. And that's the psychological level the market needs to start getting concerned again.
Going back to the ifs we mentioned a few moments ago, what is the projected yield this year?
Well, USDA lowered its yield estimate from 163.6 down to 158, which matched my yield estimate going into the report. They did so based on a formula they have, which looks at planting delays. They made the assumption in that formula that 60.5% of the crop would be planted by May 15th. That's obviously not going to happen with USDA reporting that just 28% of the crop was planted by June or May 12th.
And that was Arlen Suderman of Water Street Solutions. In other news this morning, the Hagstrom Report is reporting that Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid has introduced a motion to proceed on the Farm Bill, and the Senate has reached agreement to proceed to the bill on Monday. The House Ag Committee was not able to finish its Farm Bill markup quite as quickly as its Senate counterpart did on Tuesday. Still, Chairman Frank Lucas was pleased with the progress made when the committee had to break Wednesday afternoon for a Republican meeting and votes, and expressed confidence they would finish their work Wednesday night, and he was right. The committee finished the Credit, Rural Development, Research, Forestry, Energy, Horticulture, Crop Insurance, and Miscellaneous titles, and finally approved the 2013 Farm Bill by a vote of 36 to 10. Agriculture Committee Chair Frank Lucas was proud of the committee's effort to advance a farm bill with significant savings and reforms. Ranking Member Colin Peterson was also pleased with the committee's ability to work together, find some common ground, and advance a five-year farm bill. He says the progress has gone on far too long, and it's past time to get the bill done. Chairman Lucas says he has been assured that House Republican leaders will bring the bill to the floor in June. Peterson is optimistic the farm bill will continue through regular order and be brought to the House floor in June. If things stay on track, he suggests the House should be able to conference with the Senate in July and have a new five-year farm bill in place before the August recess. The Senate voted 83-14 Wednesday to pass the Water Resources Development Act. The American Soybean Association cheered the move. ASA President Danny Murphy says improving and investing in our waterways infrastructure is vital to the U.S. soybean industry. With more than half of the U.S. soybean crop exported, he says farmers depend on an efficient transportation system to remain competitive in global markets. Mr. Murphy says the ability to get U.S. products to market quickly and efficiently is one aspect that sets the industry apart from competitors. He says we cannot afford to ignore the needs of that infrastructure, and the American Soybean Association is calling on the House to pass the bill quickly. The Senate did not adopt an amendment to the Water Resources Development Act to prevent the Environmental Protection Agency and the Army Corps of Engineers from finalizing the Clean Water Act jurisdictional guidance document. National Cattlemen's Beef Association Deputy Environmental Counsel Ashley McDonald called it a tragedy that those who voted against the amendment refused to recognize the devastating effect the guidance will have on farmers and ranchers across the country. If finalized, Ms. McDonald says it would be the biggest federal land grab in history, requiring cattlemen to apply for permits to conduct everyday activity, such as cleaning out a ditch. Finally, in the news this morning, four Major League Baseball clubs are partnering with the National FFA organization for FFA Day at the ballpark this summer. The Kansas City Royals, Pittsburgh Pirates, Cincinnati Reds, and the Cardinals are offering FFA members, their families, and friends, teachers, FFA alumni, and FFA supporters specially discounted tickets to attend a game. The National FFA organization hopes to raise awareness about FFA to large and diverse audiences through attendance, participation of local FFA members in stadium activities, special messaging at each game, and appearances by Flight the Owl. National FFA organization public relations manager Dwayne Brott says combined, the organization has the opportunity to put FFA in front of more than 150,000 Major League Baseball fans this summer. As we close in electronic trading on the Chicago Board of Trade, July wheat now trading at 696 and a quarter, up 2.5. September wheat trading at 705, up 2.75. July corn trading at 650 and a half, down a quarter. September corn trading at 564 and a quarter, up 0.75. July soybeans trading at 1416 and 0.75, up 4. August beans trading at 1347 and a half, up 5.5. We'll keep you updated throughout the day with the commodity markets on both WSMI and WSMI FM 106. Part 2 of the Morning Farm Show on this Thursday, brought to you by Monsanto's Southern Illinois team, by the CHS Service Center of Louder, and by Seavers Equipment of Hamel, Hillsboro, Greenfield, Carlinville, and Auburn.